Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. I'm breaking right into the middle of the subject here, but I'm doing this on purpose because I want to preach on this subject tonight. And this is Jesus, and his words are very clear here in this verse. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I want to preach tonight on the subject of hell. I thought about basically every theology book that you will study. It'll have this subject somewhere in it. It'll have the final state of the righteous and of the wicked. The final state of the righteous and of the wicked. The final state of the righteous and the wicked are summed up in two words. They both begin with the same letter, and the second letter is also the same. The final state of the righteous is heaven, H-E-A-V-E-N. And the final state of the wicked is hell, H-E-L-L. Years ago, and I probably mentioned this to you before, years ago when I was a member of the Broadway Baptist Church in Richmond, Kentucky, I had a pastor that had pastored there for years, and he just about pastored that church as long as Brother Walker did there in Lexington, something like 45, 50 years, something like that. And he told me one time when he'd got through preaching on the subject of hell that some little boy came up to him and said, "Preacher, you said a dirty word." And he said, "Son, what are you talking about?" And he said, "You said hell all through your sermon." Well, now to him, you know, he had heard it used in the wrong way. And he thought that it was a dirty word. But the Bible just gives it plain as being a place of the departed wicked. Those that die in their sins go to a place that the Bible describes or calls hell, H-E-L-L. Now the story here in Luke 16 that Jesus is giving, or the truth that Jesus is giving concerning Lazarus and the rich man. And so what he says here in verse 23, concerning the rich man that died, it said, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now you don't hear a lot of preaching about hell. You're prone to hear more preaching about heaven. When you're at a funeral, how many times do you ever hear preachers at funerals mention hell? Did you know where that they mostly mention is heaven? And sometimes they mention it like everybody's going there, or everybody is on their way. But we know definitely from the Word of God that there was a man here that died and was by the angels carried into Abraham's bosom. We think of that as being paradise, or what we refer to as Noah's heaven. But the rich man died, and he didn't go to paradise, or he didn't go to heaven. But he went to hell. And I believe that the doctrine of hell isn't a popular doctrine, because people in their right mind and have any description given of hell to them from the Word of God don't want to go there. You know, you have preachers ask people sometimes, "You don't want to go to hell, do you?" Well, nobody in their right mind would want to go to hell. And they'll say, you want to go to heaven, don't you? And people will definitely say, well, certainly. Who had not rather go to a place where the streets of gold and where the Lord Jesus Christ there than to go to a place of burning torment? And so what we find is, and I realize and I know that perhaps myself, I'd rather preach about heaven. And you know, we can sing and we can rejoice. We can sing about heaven. We can rejoice about what the Word of God has to say about heaven. We can rejoice because of that we're going there. But have you ever heard a song about hell? Have you ever heard anybody rejoicing about going to hell? Have you ever heard anybody glad that they're going there and going to spend an eternity in hell? But I believe to preach about the one and not the other is only to preach half-truths. Because the Bible talks about the eternal home of the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And folks, we must come to recognize that people die every day and not everybody goes to heaven. Thank God there are some people that do go to heaven. They go there because they have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But the sad thing is, we have to acknowledge many times, and you know, we don't say much about it, do we? You know, we're real quiet about it, and I don't think we ought to just rant and rave about it. And you know, if a person dies and I think they went to hell, I'm not going to go to their people and say, well, I'm sorry, but he sure went to hell. I'm not going to say that, and I'm not going to even go into that. But the reality of it is, if they died without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where they went. And I believe that we must acknowledge that the Bible teaches this. Now, sometimes people think that the only hell that they'll ever suffer is in this world. Now, let's get this in our hearts and minds. God does, I believe, in various ways deal with people in this life. I believe for the saved it's chastisement, and there is a certain amount of punishment that God brings on the wicked in this life. But it's not the eternal punishment. It's not that death that I preached about, that third death that I preached about last Sunday morning. It is not that eternal death or that eternal separation. So God deals with the unsaved in this world, but eternal punishment has been reserved for sinners in another place. And that place is called hell. Now you see, by what authority? And we must acknowledge and we must say there is a hell. That's the first thing that I want to emphasize tonight. There is a hell. You say, how do you know? By what authority can you preach there is a hell? The only authority that we have is the Bible, is the Word of God. You know, a verse that is used quite often, and you know, and it does stress a point, and that is in Psalm chapter 9, and there in the 9th chapter of Psalms, and in verse 17, it declares this. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. A clear-cut statement. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, what's the opposite of wicked? Righteous. Where's the righteous going to be turned into? Well, the righteous is going to be turned into heaven. And I'm not going to go into this, but you know that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. And the only reason that any of us are righteous is because that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there has been imputed to us His righteousness. So our home is reserved for us in heaven. But now look. The wicked shall be turned into hell. But that's not all that verse. And all the nations that forget God. I sometimes am overwhelmed by the thought of how quickly our nation is going away from God. How quickly. And I'll tell you, folks, it's taking its toll. There is such a tremendous satanic influence in our nation today. And what is going to happen to our nation is like any other nation that forgets God. They are going to be turned into hell. Now, I realize that the Bible is the best authority on the place of hell and that there is a hell. I believe the prophet Daniel and how that Daniel spoke in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, and there in verse 2 of the 12th chapter, and it says this, Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, now look at this, some to everlasting life. There is going to be a resurrection of the righteous to everlasting life. We know that is referred to in the Bible as the first resurrection. But there is going to be a second resurrection, and that resurrection is unto damnation. For look what Daniel said. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we see that it all concludes and goes right down. We say it brings it right down to the wire in Revelation 20 and in verse 15. It brings it right down to the conclusion of these wicked that are going to be cast into hell. And you'll find there in Revelation 20 and in verse 15. Now look what it says. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That means that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into hell. Some say, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in a hell. I'll tell you what, if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't want to either. You think about it. I wouldn't want to think about it either. And sometimes people say, why, it frightens people. And I become frightened when I hear that there is such an awful place. And you might ask the person, well now, why do you believe that there's a heaven? And you know what they'll say? Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. But did you know that the Bible has more to say about hell than it does about heaven? So hell is in the Bible as well as heaven. Now, I realize that hell lies out before all who reject Jesus Christ. And I believe that it is our duty, I believe that it is our God-given privilege to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Jesus said it like this, repent except you likewise perish. And what he meant that perish was perishing in hell. Now, I realize that the Bible is that which teaches and preaches hell. I know that men, even human logic demands it, but we don't go by human logic. We don't go by human reasoning. We go by what the Word of God says. Men are eternal criminals against God. The Bible says that Judas went to his own place. What we have to remember is God is a God of love, but his love doesn't cover up his justice. Murderers and thieves and liars and adulterers have their place. And that place is in the lake of fire. Now, what I'd like to talk to preach about next is, and I might wind up just talking about it, what kind of a place is hell? Hell is a place of separation. The best description, if you're in the book of Revelation, if you're there in Revelation chapter 20, if you'll look with me in verse 14 and verse 15. Now notice again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What is the second death? The second death is an eternal separation from God's presence. Now, think with me. It is beneficial to this world and to the wicked because they live in a world of God's presence. It is beneficial to the wicked because they live in a world that also has righteous people in it. People that are saved by the grace of God. They do not recognize this, but they are privileged and blessed to be able to live in a world that has the presence of Almighty God. But in hell, there will not be God's presence.
There will not be God's love.
There will not be God's love. God manifests his love here in this world. He manifests his love to me, and he manifests his love to you. God also manifests his mercy. And he manifests his long suffering. You know, I believe that a verse, if you'll go with me in the book of Romans, and I want you to see this in Romans chapter 9. And what I want us to think about is that the privilege that people have being able to live in this world, even though they're wicked, because of God's presence, God's love, and God's mercy. Now look in Romans 9 and verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, what if he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Now I want you to notice. And the thought that I want to bring out here, and I know there's many truths in this verse, but the thought that I want to bring out is, even though the wicked are sinners living in this world, they still are blessed because of God's presence. Now look at this verse 22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make known His power, now look at it, to make His power known, endured with much long suffering. That is because of God's presence. That is because of God's long suffering. With much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. But now look at the next verse. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy. What was the two men that went to pray? And one was self-righteous, and one said, I thank You, God, that I'm not as this other man is. But this sinner, this publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he recognized the presence of Almighty God. And so, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He hath afore prepared unto glory. But now in hell, there will no longer be the long suffering of God. There will no longer be the manifestation of God's love to the objects of His love, of those He loves here in this world. Hell will not be a place of God's presence, will not be a place of God's love, and it will not be a place of God's blessings. It will not be. I realize and I know that it is going to be a place of separation. But I believe also that hell is going to not only be a place of separation, but hell is going to be a place of suffering. You know, we are privileged many times to suffer here in this life. I never do take it like I should. I do not thank God enough for what He does for me. And you know, when I'm well, I don't really thank Him like I should. And I get to where, you know, when I can't preach and I can't sing, and you know, it really, you know, I forget about, you know, you just think it, you're going to always be where you can. You know how we are, and we don't thank God enough. We really don't. And you know, we ought to praise Him just as much when we're well as when we're sick. But I realize that hell is a place of suffering. Now there is a suffering that all men go through here. But it's nothing to compare as to what it's going to be in hell. It'll be more intense there because there is a literal fire in hell. Jesus said, the place where the fire is not quenched. A place where the fire cannot and will not be put out. You know, we're so privileged and blessed to have all of these men that fight, that are firefighters. And there's almost, most of the fires they go to, they can put them out. And with enough time, you can always put out a fire. But this one won't be put out. This one is a fire that burns, a furnace of fire, and Revelation said it's a lake of fire. And I thought here, in this scripture that I read in Luke 16, if you really want to listen as Jesus brings this out here in this 16th chapter of Luke, And what this rich man said, he said in the latter part of verse 24, he said, I am tormented in this flame. The flame did not consume him. He was not annihilated, but it's a place of suffering. It's a place of torment. I realize and I know that somebody said, well, I don't really believe it's real fire. Do you believe that Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire? I believe that. Do you believe that Elijah was able to call down literal fire from heaven and consume that consume that altar of the false god, Baal? Do you believe that Moses really talked to a burning bush, or was it just some kind of a mirage or something? Brethren, I believe that when the Bible says fire, I believe it's fire. I believe it's the kind of fire that God has prepared that never goes out. It never loses degree of force. It never loses anything that would bring about the torment of that person that's burning there. We've often talked about this. When you talk about the rapture of the saints and the resurrection of the saints and the glorified body that we're going to receive, it's a glorious thing. But you know, if you'll study closely 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about that everybody's going to be resurrected sometime or other that's died. That Jesus Christ is the first fruits, and all of the saved, you know, are in the first resurrection. But then that also teaches that even those that die that know not Jesus Christ are going to be resurrected. Did you know that it's going to be some more a body that God prepared that He gives to those people that are cast into hell where it'll burn forever? And I believe this is where that it talks about. One of the scriptures that brings this out, and I'll see if I can find it right quickly, and I believe that really brings this truth out. And somebody says, well, and you know, we get to thinking about what part's going to suffer there in hell. And the whole idea is when Jesus, let me just sort of refer to it like this, and you'll know the verse I'm talking about. Jesus said, fear not him that is able to kill the body, but fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And what he means there is that there will be an eternal fire, and there will be a place where that there will be eternal torment, an eternal suffering throughout eternity, while we are enjoying the bliss. And you know, here's what we talk about. When we go to heaven, we say, now I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven. And you know, humanly speaking, we reminisce and we talk about who we're going to see. You know, and we get caught up in that. And you know, we are going to see some people, and it's going to be a blessing. And I know that mostly what's going to happen is that when we go to heaven, the first person that we're going to want to see is the Lord Jesus Christ. The first person that we're wanting to worship and to be with is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, I don't know to what extent that we'll be able to do this, but, you know, and I've heard people say that, and whether they're going to be able to do this, I don't exactly know, said, well, I'd like to talk to John the Baptist, and I'd like to talk to Elijah, and I'd like to talk to Moses, and I'd like to talk to Abraham, and and I'm sure that there will be perhaps some degree of this that will go on in our worship and our praise of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you know what kind of a characters are you going to associate with in hell? You know, when you go to heaven, there's not anyone better to be with than the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not anyone better to be with than the saints of God that are already there. But in hell, it's going to be a place of the lowest of the lowest association. Revelation talks about this in Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8. Listen to what's said. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brethren, that's a far cry from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Apostle Paul, Moses, Elijah, Daniel, Hosea, and all of these. So you see the influence and the place that it's going to be. It is a place where men reap the harvest of their sinful influence. And the Bible says it's a place where there's weeping and where there's gnashing of teeth. Do you ever get irritable and you gnash out at somebody? You do. I mean, all of us do sometime or other. And you know, sometimes there can be some real heated discussions in this life. Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like in hell? And why I say that is it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, they're biting out at each other. I've thought through the years, and I've thought of several illustrations, and I've thought of people that you know, that have had loved ones that died and went to hell. I don't know what all is going to be involved and what all is going to be said. I do know what's going to be said, or what needs to be said now. When a person dies, it's all over. Our influence is all over. And you know, so some people said, well, hell won't be too bad. But what they don't remember is hell is a place of suffering. It's a place of torment. It's a place of being with the lowest associates. But it's also a place of memory. And that's brought out in Luke. You know, the Word of God says, remember what you had when he talked to the rich man, how you fared sumptuously. You remember that Lazarus, you remember his condition. And then the agonizing thing was, is when he comes down at the end of that message there in Luke 16, he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. But then he said, I have five brethren, or I have five brothers. And hell was such a place that he didn't want them to come. He didn't want them to be there. But you remember how that Jesus goes on and concludes, and he more or less says, well, they have Moses and the prophets. And even if one would go from the dead, they wouldn't hear them. But God has ordained the way where that men might hear and they might believe. And that's through the messengers with God's word. Sometimes people, when you say to them, you say, they say, well, I'm as good as anybody else. And they say, well, I don't drink and I don't curse and I don't commit adultery and I don't do these things. But what sends a person to hell is what they do with Jesus Christ, whether or not they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When does hell begin? I believe the consciousness of it is when you die. How many times, and the message that's preached most at funerals is to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Have you ever heard at a funeral to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of hell? I mean, think with me. Think with me. And that's what happens. That's what happens to some people. For the person to die unsaved, to be absent from the body, is to lift up their eyes in hell. To lift up their eyes in torments. And I realize, but I'm thankful tonight that there is a way. Jesus said it himself. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What is needed tonight is each individual here that is not saved by the grace of God needs to be brought to the place of repentance and faith. That God would grant to them repentance and faith, that they could repent of their sins and they could trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't want it to paint the picture like that Jesus Christ is just a fire escape. Jesus Christ is much more than that. Jesus Christ is our life. Being saved by the grace of God is a way of life. It's a joy. It's not something you have to do, but it's something that after God saves you, you want to do. And it's such a joy. But one of the benefits is, one of the fringe benefits is, that anyone saved will never go to hell. And how thankful we ought to be. I've been preaching for some months now on Wednesday night the theme of the book of Romans. And the theme of the book of Romans is found in the first chapter in verse 16. And here's what it says. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." What is the difference between heaven and hell? Who is the difference between heaven and hell? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," and I like this verse here, and it says, "hath everlasting life." Now look. And you look what's taught after what I've preached tonight. "And shall not come into condemnation." That's judgment. "But is passed from death unto life." To have Jesus Christ is to have life. To die without Jesus Christ is to die an eternal death. You die physically. But the worst of it all is that eternal death, or that eternal separation from Almighty God. I pray tonight it might please the great God of heaven, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, to cause you to realize that you're a sinner, to cause you to realize that you need a Savior, would cause you to realize that you need to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Isn't it a sad thought when someone dies and they never do exactly say in this life that they've ever trusted Christ or been saved? You know, it's the hardest thing in the world to try to, in your mind, to think that person died and went to hell. Because if it's somebody that you know or somebody that you love, you don't want that to happen to them. But if they died without Jesus Christ, that's where they are. That's where they are even tonight. I have said this through the years, and I know that you know it's true. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the difference is whether or not you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not in what you do. It's not in how you do it. But it's whether or not you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and have an experience of God's grace.